Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. My name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau, and I'm your host. I'm the author of several books on living healthfully and compassionately. You can learn more about who I am and what I do by visiting my website, joyfulvegan.com. And you can also join thousands of people whose lives have been changed by the 30-Day Vegan Challenge and get yourself on board with it today at 30dayveganchallenge.com. Today's topic is vegan for health versus vegan for ethics. Does it even matter? Often when you tell someone you're vegan, the response is, oh, are you vegan for health? Are you vegan for ethics? And personally, I find that a very interesting response, just that question, because somehow the answer matters to the person asking. And depending on your answer, people respond very differently, which I find fascinating. If we say it's for health reasons, I think that person tacitly applauds us for doing something beneficial for ourselves. But if we say it's for ethical reasons or for the animals, I think it makes people feel threatened or judged because, as I've talked about in the past, a mirror is held up that forces them to look at their own choices. Frankly, I think most vegans will say that though there may have been one thing that sparked their desire to become vegan, they remain so for a number of reasons. And I find it interesting that there's an expectation that we have to choose one reason. I mean, I think the question itself is perfectly reasonable because most people aren't surprised if you say, well, I'm vegan for a number of reasons. But I also think that what they're really asking is, you know, what was it that made you become vegan? What happened that made you make that choice? What motivated you to become vegan? And often people think about that as a single thing. So while I don't think we have to necessarily choose one reason, I do think the truth is that there's usually one door through which we walk when we make this change. And so, of course, the best answer to what made you become vegan is your truth. What I have a hard time with are people who say that you shouldn't necessarily say the truth because your answer might make people defensive or turned off, especially if your answer is, I'm vegan for the animals. And I think you know what I'm getting at here. I've heard people say that even though they're vegan for ethical reasons, they're more comfortable just saying they're vegan for health reasons up front because people react, I'm quoting people who say this, people react better to that than if you say that you're doing it for the animals. Well, I know you're not surprised that I disagree with this. I disagree with saying you're vegan for health reasons if your reason for being vegan is for ethical reasons or if that was your initial motivation. I disagree with this because A, if you're saying something just to please someone else when that's not really your truth, then that's not authentic and I have a problem with that. And B, I think when we do this, we're projecting our own fear or past experiences onto this completely new, different person. Just because someone else has reacted one way in the past, how do you know how a totally different person is going to react? Now, you know I believe in open communication. So if the truth is that you're vegan for the animals and health, then say it. If the truth is that you're vegan for the animals, then say it. And if it's for health, then say it. Just don't say something because you think it will be more palatable for someone. I think, honestly, the worst advice I've ever heard, or the strangest question, I guess, I've ever been asked more than once, goes something like, well, even though the compassion element is really important, and that's obviously the core of your work, because people react better when you tell them all the health benefits, don't you think it might be more effective to put all of that up front? I'm sorry to say, but people are kind of selfish, so they might be more open to hearing about how they'll benefit health-wise rather than hearing about the animals. Then when they make the change, animals are helped anyway because that person's not eating them. So in the end, it's a win-win situation, but they might not be inclined to make a change if all you talk about is compassion. Okay, that's a long way of saying all that, but that's kind of the version of what I've heard. And I have something to say about that. If you're asking me that question, why don't I lead with the health argument, then I have nothing to say other than my work is an extension of my authentic self, my deepest beliefs, and my core values. My approach is my approach, and my approach works for me. And I can say with gratitude and humility that it's working in general. So I have no desire or need to change it. So that's that. Now, Do I think that I would have had a wider reach or would now have a wider reach if I just focused on health and diet and weight loss and not compassion? Probably. That's probably true, but that's not my truth. And I'm not going to compromise who I am just because it would be more palatable. Not that my approach is unpalatable, but you know what I mean. Number two, if you want to make that your approach, if your approach is about health because that works for you and that's really what your message is, then go for it. But I would just encourage you to make sure that your message is authentic. The issue I've had with individuals and organizations, and some whom I've stopped working with, is that they told me straight out that compassion for animals is a huge motivation for their work, but they don't want to mention animals because they don't want to marginalize anyone or turn people off, which is incredibly heartbreaking to me. Not only are they, in their own words, saying that they're not authentically expressing what they think is an important consideration, they're also saying that they think so little of their audience who wouldn't be able to take the message of compassion. Now, I'm inferring that, but that's ultimately what they're saying. They don't raise the bar enough. They don't have the expectation that their audience would be open to the message of compassion. I personally have more faith in people than that. I know people can take it. And it's not to say that I don't have different nuanced approaches depending on who I'm talking to, but I don't just play it safe because I don't think someone can hear the word compassion or vegan, which is the experience I've had with these organizations. And I think it's just absolutely missed opportunities all around, and it breaks my heart. I was all set to work with some folks whose reach is huge, but who didn't want me to use the word compassion or vegan or even mention the animals. And so I told them that if they just wanted me to be a mouthpiece for them rather than share my message to their audience, then they'd have to find someone else. Now, some might say that it was stupid for me to do so because if I just eliminated certain words, I would have had access to a whole new audience. But what good is that if I can't actually share my message to that new audience? If I had to censor myself and boycott certain words, certain horrific words like compassion, like that wouldn't be my message in the end. And in the end, I would have just been a mouthpiece. So I walked away. So again, I think so many people care about both. We can care about both at the same time. We can care about health and we can care about animals. But if your single message is health because that's authentic for you, then that's great. But if you're in any way not talking about other aspects because you're afraid to upset anyone, then I would just suggest that that's something to look at. A third reason I don't think just talking about the health benefits are quote unquote more effective is that though I believe the health arguments for eliminating animal flesh and secretions are strong, I don't believe they're definitive. Compassion is definitive, and that's what I love about it. You either hurt someone or you don't. You either exploit someone or you don't. You either kill someone or you don't. And as far as the health argument goes, it goes only so far because the truth is someone can be mostly plant-based, but have an egg-based muffin or salmon or dairy-based ice cream once a week and still be pretty darn healthy and at substantially reduced risk for heart attack, stroke, diabetes, etc. And also, as you may have picked up from the way I talk about the health aspects, I don't ever make guarantees about the health benefits you derive from eating plant-based because I think it's disingenuous to do so. First of all, being vegan is not a diet. So being vegan, which is what I talk about, it's not a diet. Being vegan is an ethic. Under this umbrella called vegan, right, as it applies to food and eating, the food and eating aspects of being vegan, it's so incredibly broad. Under vegan, you can eat only raw foods. You could eat only cooked foods. You can completely eliminate entire food groups like soybeans or wheat or gluten or black beans or salt or sugar or oil or blue foods. The point is that there's not one way to eat vegan. It's incredibly broad. And second of all, some people do experience immense health benefits, and they're legitimate to talk about. But as I said, what I have a problem with are guarantees that people make. People who guarantee that if you go vegan, you'll lose all the weight you want to lose, or you'll never get sick again, or you'll never have to take medication again. And that's just not my style. It's not my approach, because truthfully, there are no guarantees when it comes to health. As soon as someone gets a cold or gains weight or has a heart attack or gets cancer, God forbid, then it's blamed on veganism. I'm human first and foremost, and though I have eliminated a lot of health risks for the diseases of affluence afflicting millions of people in developed industrialized countries, such as diabetes and heart disease and stroke and some cancers, I'm still human, and being vegan is not a panacea. Now, I want to make a caveat. I want to be clear that I'm thrilled by the health benefits people experience when they eliminate meat, dairy, and eggs from their diet. It's real. These are real benefits. And that's so amazing and so fantastic. And I love to hear about how people have changed their lives becoming vegan or becoming plant-based or eliminating meat, dairy, and eggs from their diet. I just don't think it's a panacea for everything. Of course, I recommend eliminating meat and dairy and eggs for anyone with high cholesterol and high blood pressure, etc., which is why I recommend in the 30-Day Vegan Challenge that people know their numbers and find out before they start the 30-Day Vegan Challenge so they can compare those numbers to the end when they're done with the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, because within 30 days, you see incredible changes and incredible results and incredible benefits. So I'm just simply saying that we can do so much to improve our health eating a plant-based diet, but I couldn't definitively state that having a chicken sandwich once a month would gravely impact you. Compassion, however, is a different story. I could absolutely and definitively state that if you have a chicken sandwich once a month or once a week, it gravely impacts the chicken. For all the accusations about veganism being rigid and dogmatic, for me, of course, it's not rigid and dogmatic at all. It's very clear. It's very consistent. There aren't degrees. There's imperfection in that there are some things I can't control. But as far as living compassionately, I can guarantee that by not eating animals and their secretions, I'm doing everything I can to not hurt them. I can guarantee that. It's either I contribute to harm or I don't. It's either I contribute to violence or I don't. I don't believe in, well, I'm only hurting them a little, so it's okay. Or I prayed over them while I hurt them, so it's okay. Or a little harm is okay. It's not okay. A little torture isn't better than a lot of torture. It's still torture. No torture is my ethic. And then also, you know, the people who say you should talk about the health arguments because people are selfish, they only care about the health arguments, I don't buy into that. I think it's incredibly insulting, and I think it keeps the bar low. It's a total presumption, and I think it's unfair. Perhaps people haven't ever been given the information about the animals or the chance to know the truth about what happens to animals and thus change their behavior based on the ethical argument. So to presume that people wouldn't be moved by that, I think it's really misguided, because that's always been my argument and people are moved by it. Now, I know people can say, well, don't tell me about the animals. I want to hear about the health benefits. Don't tell me about the animals. It's too painful. I know people say that, but I don't think it's because they're so selfish. I think it's because they're so sensitive. I've seen people close their ears. I have seen people literally put their hands over their ears and say, don't tell me. And when I've been in that situation, I've been known to gently say, well, you know, just because we close our ears, it doesn't mean it's not happening. Or I did that too. And I know how hard it was to learn these things. But once I learned it, it was so liberating and what have you, right? Sometimes all you need to say is something gentle to coax them into being open. And it can be done in a gentle way. So I get that people can appear closed, but there's an observation I've made about that idea that health vegans are selfish. I know people can say that, and I know people can even say that people who do this for health reasons are not real vegans, they're not true vegans. I've heard people make those judgments against people who call themselves plant-based or just do it for health reasons. You know, it's just really selfish. Unless you do it for the animals, you're being selfish. Like, so I've heard people say these things, and there's an observation I've made about this I think is very interesting and I think is very telling. And I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. But first, I really want to take a moment to thank all of you who are making this podcast possible. You, the listeners who support this podcast and my work monthly or via one-time donations. If you'd like to be part of supporting this podcast, please go to joyfulvegan.com I also want to thank the American Anti-Vivisection Society, AAVS.org. They are one of the oldest animal protection organizations in the United States, and they're ending the use of animals in science through education, advocacy, and the development of alternative methods. They're also incredibly instrumental behind making sure that your tax dollars don't contribute to research that benefits the meat industry, because right now they do via the U.S. Meat Animal Research Center. Its sole aim is to minimize costs and maximize profits for the meat industry. And a recent New York Times investigation revealed shocking animal cruelty and neglect. Shocking to most of the public, not to those of us who are aware this happens all the time. But the public was incredibly moved, and so was Congress, by this investigation. You can read about it at aavs.org/meat. This takes place because there is no federal law protecting animals used in agriculture research. The Animal Welfare Act specifically excludes cows, pigs, and sheep from coverage when used in agriculture research. And only Congress can stop this horrific animal suffering. In response to this cruelty, a bipartisan bill was introduced in Congress, the Animal Welfare in Agricultural Research Endeavors. It's called the AWARE Act. That's the acronym for it. The AWARE Act, the Animal Welfare in Agricultural Research Endeavors. It will amend the Animal Welfare Act to include protection for animals used in agriculture research at federal labs. Please contact your legislators now and ask them to support the AWARE Act. The bill is steadily gaining support in both the House and the Senate. But as you know, once these kinds of investigations or any kind of horrific thing happens, people are moved to stop it. But as time goes by, it stalls. So we need to contact our legislators right now and ask them to support the AWARE Act. Go to aavs.org, find your legislator, send them a letter, just ask them to support the act, and you can be part of changing this for animals at the federal level. So thank you to AAVS, aavs.org. And thank you to all of you listeners. We have a new listener supporter in Carita Erickson and Carrie Doyle, who upgraded her patronage. Thank you so much to both of you. Please support this podcast by going to joyfulvegan.com. So this observation I had, I'm not even sure what to do with it, but there's something there for me. There's something there because people who are vegan for health reasons are selfish because it's not about the animals. Well, okay, it's true that they're doing it for themselves, but if they were so selfish, they wouldn't cheat on themselves, right? It's as if there's something missing that compels them to not cheat. And it's not self-preservation, because if they were so selfish, if they were so self-filled, they wouldn't ever do anything that would potentially cause them harm. So there's something else happening there. And I think there's something to unlock there. So bear with me. Studies and surveys indicate that people who are vegan for ethical reasons tend to be more committed and never cheat. Why? Well, we can definitely say that once you know what the animals go through, you never want to contribute to that again. Once you have those images in your mind, it never goes away. Those images never go away. And that's motivation enough to never eat animals again. It's a very powerful motivation, and it's driven by empathy, not self-preservation. Now, I think that's really interesting. We often talk about how strong our instinct is to survive, but people do things all the time that compromise their health and their lives, right? I mean, excess drinking and smoking and, you know, consuming animal products that they know are harmful. But check this out. Some really interesting research is bearing out that empathy, or even more specifically, awareness that someone else suffers because of your action. So it's not even that you're empathizing at that moment with someone who is, just awareness that someone else suffers or would suffer because of your actions is the most motivating factor when it comes to behavior change. I read about this research a few years ago, and it was so validating for me because I felt this on an anecdotal level, on an instinctive level. But when I heard about this research, I just thought this is exactly the kind of thing that needs to be talked about in relation to stopping eating animals. Now, I'm having trouble finding the exact study. So if you are listening and you are good at research, please help me out. Contact me, because I think there's a key here. The study focused on behavior modification and what was most successful when it came to people stopping something like smoking. and more importantly, remaining stopped. That was the key. When they were talking about smoking cessation programs, for instance, those who had the most success in terms of remaining smoke-free were those who had internalized exactly how their smoking hurt the people they loved. In other words, those who felt the desire to pick up smoking again, I'm talking about like nicotine addiction not being part of the equation because it was, you know, years later and they thought about maybe smoking again. So this wasn't an addictive impulse. It was just they wanted to smoke again. But what stopped them was the thought that their daughter or their son, someone close to them, would lose their mother. And when they thought about that, when they thought about their daughter, for instance, suffering because their, you know, her mother died of emphysema, it was enough to stop that person from picking up another cigarette. And I think this is so interesting because I think that's what's going on for those of us who stop eating animals for ethical reasons, or perhaps you stopped eating animals for health reasons, but then the switch goes off around the animal issues. And that's when people say, I was vegan for health reasons and I was really enjoying it. But when I realized what the animals went through, a switch went off and I will never go back to eating animals again, right? So there's that, there really is a difference between when you do it for health reasons and when you do it for ethical reasons. And I think it's the awareness of someone else suffering because of you that keeps you from eating another animal or animal product. And that's why I talk about in the first stage of the 10 stages of what happens when you stop eating animals. That's why I talk about how I think it's important to revisit those images or those facts, the video, whatever it is, every once in a while about what happens to the animals. Because I think if you get away from them too much, you can forget what moved you in the first place and you can forget about the suffering that the animals are enduring. And so you lose that motivation, you lose that memory, you lose those images. And you can convince yourself that you can go back to eating them again. So I think it's really interesting. I absolutely do think there is a difference in terms of commitment or longevity. And I might say ease, you know, when you're vegan because you don't want to contribute to violence against animals. It's just not an effort at all. You just know that someone's suffering because of you or would suffer because of you. And it's just not even an option. So I think that's very interesting. I really do. One other thing I think is interesting about this health versus ethics dichotomy is a dynamic I've seen a number of times. Maybe you have too. And I think it's worth mentioning. Let's say we've been vegan for a while and we're clear that we're vegan for ethical reasons, for compassion. And someone in our lives, be it a sister or a sister-in-law or a parent or coworker or friend, one day tells you they've read something or they've seen something or experimented themselves and they decided to go vegan, right? And so they tell you that. And before you have a chance to say, great, that's fantastic, they say, but I just want to be clear, I'm not vegan for the animals. It's not about the animals for me. I'm vegan only for my health. And I think it's really interesting because on one hand, it's as if they don't want you to think that you had any influence on them at all, as if them becoming vegan is a win for you, like it's a victory for you whereby you put another notch in your vegan belt. But what's sad about it is that it's almost like they don't want you to mistake them for a compassionate person. Like, when did compassion become something to be ashamed of, right? I mean, is it really more desirable that we let people know that we're completely selfish rather than compassionate? Like, no, don't mistake me for a compassionate person. Let's be clear. I'm doing this only for myself, right? And that's, I think, where people can start to say, well, if you're saying that, then that's selfish. Okay, well, okay, it is what it is. I mean, if that's the truth, fine. But what does that really mean? For me, what underneath that, what it really means is that they're blocking off a part of themselves and they're closing off their heart. And that's ultimately what I think is problematic. Not that someone's just being selfish. Okay, whatever. You want to just judge someone for being selfish. What are the consequences of that? Especially if someone's not eating animals. If they're not eating animals, that's great, because the bottom line is we just need people to stop eating animals so that billions of animals aren't suffering. So, okay, you want to call them selfish, you call them selfish. But what's underneath that? Like, what's underneath that? And for me, what's underneath that is if we're not living unconditionally, compassionately, and we're blocking off a part of ourselves and we're closing off a part of our hearts, then I think there are consequences in terms of how we just operate in this world with each other, in our communities, towards other people towards other beings. And so that's what I, you know, would caution people against. So I do think it's sad that people want to make sure that they don't appear too kind or too compassionate or too nonviolent. Or is it that they're afraid of appearing too vulnerable? I think that could be it as well. They don't want to appear too sensitive. I think also some people fear that others will project their own stuff onto them and presume they're going to be a pushy vegan or a self-righteous vegan. That if somehow you say you're vegan who cares about health, you're not going to preach to anyone. But if you're vegan who cares about animals, then look out. Look out, world. Here comes the self-righteous, holier-than-thou ethical vegan. And I think people project that, and so they choose to not identify as that. And I remember my friend Michael, my dear friend Michael, who you've all heard about, and if you haven't, he was a very dear friend of mine and my assistant who died very tragically in 2011. And we miss him very much. And I remember when Michael told me his story of awakening, and his story is in Vegan's Daily Companion. He said that when he became vegan, he really did do it for the health reasons. And when he said it out loud to people at parties, when he said, I'm vegan, they would roll their eyes or whatever, something in response. And Michael, internalizing that reaction, would quickly say, no, I'm not that kind of vegan. I'm just doing it for my health. So he was obviously reading their concern or judgment that if he said he was that kind of vegan, which I presume means the ethical vegan who actually cares that people know what happens to animals, then people would have been turned off. So I get that there's still a social stigma around ethical veganism that's very real for people. And I think we just have to understand that. But the only way we're going to smash that stigma and crush that stereotype is to say it out loud and say it proud that if animals are in our hearts and compassion is awake for us, then we just need to express that. Part of Michael's story was that listening to my podcast is what opened up his heart to compassion for animals. And he soon became a joyful vegan who had no qualms about saying he was vegan for a variety of reasons, including the animals. So we just need to be authentic. We need to be authentic about our own story and our own experience. And that's what then we would express to the world. We need not be afraid of our compassion, and we need not be afraid of what people would think because we're compassionate. We should be afraid of what people would think if we weren't compassionate. Compassion isn't something to be afraid of. Lack of compassion is. Now, some of you have also asked me what my thoughts are on the whole plant-based terminology that has become very vogue, where people choose to say I'm plant-based rather than I'm vegan. And I totally get why people make this distinction. And I think it enables people who haven't yet become aware of the issues related to animals to stop eating them and not create false impressions about who they are and what they care about, right? I think it makes total sense. Some people stop eating animals and animal secretions totally for their health, and they're not aware of how deeply animals are exploited in other ways in our society. But I do believe that once a window opens ever so slightly, it has the potential to continue to open. But people, I've seen this judgment against people who call themselves plant-based. Well, they're not really they don't really care. I mean, actually, I see the judgment against people who call themselves vegan, but are really only plant-based because maybe they're still buying leather or they don't understand the other animal exploitation issues or what have you. And I also see judgment against people who call themselves plant-based just because vegans don't like that there's this new thing called plant-based. Like, I've seen both. Let's just take a step back and understand what's going on. So I would rather people say, I'm plant-based, rather than say, I'm vegan, but I'm not that kind of vegan, right? Because when you say that, you're owning and disowning at the same time, and you're making it sound like there's something really wrong with being vegan. So I do think many people have a problem with the word vegan, but it's not because there's anything wrong with the word itself. It's because there's so many misconceptions around its meaning. But plant-based creates a definition that people understand because it means something specific. It means I am not eating animals. My diet is plant-based. I am consuming plants. I'm not eating meat, dairy, and eggs, even though I understand some people who call themselves plant-based. It's based. It doesn't mean that they've eliminated animal products completely, but still, plant-based says something specific, just as vegan means something specific. And I like what it means for me. I identify as vegan because it's a succinct way of saying I removed all the barriers to the compassion that had always been inside of me. And because veganism isn't a diet, but rather an ethic, all of that is characterized in that one little word. Well, the same goes for plant-based, because it does describe a diet, a way of eating, and I'm glad people can express themselves in a succinct way that characterizes who they are. Now, it would be disingenuous for me and inaccurate for me to call myself plant-based, because it's beyond that for me. But I have no problem using the phrase plant-based to refer to food or meals or recipes. Do you see the difference? So I'll talk about a plant-based diet. I'll talk about plant-based foods, a plant-based menu, a plant-based recipe, what have you. But in terms of me identifying as someone who's plant-based, that's not authentic for me, but it might be authentic for someone else. Frankly, I don't care how people label themselves. Anyone who eliminates animal products from their diet is making a positive contribution to themselves, to the planet, and certainly to the animals. I also know that when you begin this journey only for health reasons, quote unquote, you become open to and aware of all of the many other ways we exploit and hurt animals. And what was once a dietary choice often becomes an ideological one. I just ask that people remain open and never say never. Embrace the journey that encourages us to be humble, to learn new things, to become better people. That's the whole point of being human. It's the beauty of living and growing and choosing and learning. We can make new choices and better choices and more compassionate choices once we know better. We just have to be open, and we have to be open to the compassion that's inside of us. I would just caution anyone who tries to block it off to be aware of what they're doing, because I know that the problems we have in this world aren't because we have so much compassion that we don't know what to do with it. The problems we have in this world are because we're not living according to our own values of compassion and kindness. And that's my hope. My hope is that each of us reflect in our daily choices our deepest values and speak up for those values authentically and joyfully. Thank you again for your support, everyone. Thanks to AAVS for their support. Please visit the American Anti-Vivisection Society at aavs.org for the animals, both human and non-human. This is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Thanks for listening.